Hi, welcome to the Jazz on the Tube podcast. And today we have a fascinating guest who's doing some really interesting work in the world of presenting jazz. And as you know, that's one of the areas that we like to focus on. Jazz is presented in all kinds of formats. You can see it in a club. You can see it in a festival. You can see it in a concert hall. If you're in New Orleans, you can see it in a parade. But this format I've never heard of before, and I really like it, and I don't see any reason why this couldn't spread throughout the country. So I've asked our guest to join us today, explain how she presents jazz, and what led to this insight on her part, how this manner of presentation works, and how we can go to it if we want, if we're in the area and can make it. So welcome, Deborah Charity.
Ken, thank you. It's so good to be on this call with you. It's really exciting.
And for us, too. Before we go any further, could you tell people your website address?
Sure. It's jazz, and then get ready. It's I-N, F as in Frank, O-R, M as in Mary, A-N as in Nancy, C-E, jazzinformance.com. And it refers to an informational performance. So the bottom line or the watermark on our events is education.
Got it. So instead of jazz performance, jazz informance.
That's correct.
Great.
You
how
got
long
it.
Have you? Yeah, great. How long have you been doing this?
We started in the year 2000, and Ken, this was to be one concert. My husband and I have spent about 40 years doing volunteer mentoring and counseling with families and individuals. And what we'd continue to see over and over again is that parents were scratching their heads. They were concerned about their children's standards of learning, scores, and they'd move into good neighborhoods, and they couldn't understand why it is that their kids' scores weren't better. They could see their children struggling with subjects like math and science. And then at the same time, we were invited to a performance by a group of homeschoolers. And I was just intrigued when the person who taught music to this group of homeschoolers mentioned the Mozart effect. I thought, I've got to research that. And the more I researched it, the more intrigued I was with it. So I thought, you know what? At the same time, an older friend was mentoring us, and he invited us down to a jazz concert in Daytona Beach. We live in the Virginia Beach area, and initially I thought, well, okay, jazz. As long as they don't do something that's really heavy, if they just keep it simple for me, because for me, when they talked about improvisation, it seemed as if everybody would fall down on their instruments and then are trying to get up. It made no sense to me. I thought, well, okay, we'll go. We respect you. You asked us to go. My husband will have a great time, and I'll have a good time watching him have a good time. Well, the performer, Harold Blanchard, who is now deceased but was really a child prodigy, did what was called an informance, and I understood what they were playing. Oh, so I immediately made the connection between what we were seeing as we continued to engage families of diverse backgrounds and what we were experiencing. And I thought, I'm understanding. Man, I wish the folks back at home could see this. So the next January, we traveled down from Virginia Beach area to Daytona Beach, and we went to another concert, and that's when I approached him about coming to Virginia with his band to do one concert, one. This was before internet. It was when you had good friends and a Rolodex. So Mr. Blanchard is calling me, and we're continuing to engage so as to make arrangements for this one concert. So my husband says, Debbie, I see you're determined to do this. Yeah, I am. Debbie, you know people, most people don't like jazz. They don't understand it. I know. And you still want to do it? Yeah. But Debbie, where are you going to get the money? That was not on the script, kid. So at any rate, I said, well, my mom gave me a little money, so I just want to do this one concert. So, Ken, we had 30 days to pull this together, and there were 615 people there.
Wow.
Wow. So we had it at the local conference center, and one of my friends with her South Carolina accent called, and she said, Deborah, can Marvin wear his tux? I said, I don't care what Marvin wears. I hadn't thought that far. And then, of course, people want to know what other people are wearing. And then it dawned on me, you know what, that's a good idea, because often young people think that black tie means a skinny black tie, a wrinkled white shirt, and khakis that are real low on the anatomy. So that's how it became, yeah, that's how it became a formal dress affair. And then my mind began to fast forward, because when you're rearing children, you need to look not just at today when they're 5 or 6 years old or 10, you need to look at them as 18 and beyond, because once that tree has begun to take root, it's kind of hard to pull it back and straighten it up.
Right.
So that's what it continues to be today, a formal dress affair. It's not mandatory, but a lot of folks use it as an opportunity to get dressed up. So the idea, Ken, was to teach a music lesson, help folks to use their visual, and the fact that I later learned that the brain, 50% of the brain is used to process sight. So I thought, you know, maybe folks will see the wisdom in investing or reinvesting some of their time into their children. And then what happens when you see a family approaching a recreational event together? We would see folks going to the movies, and I thought, oh, that is so nice. That family is going to the movies. And then they get into the movie, everybody will get his or her popcorn, and then you'd hear, now keep your cell phone on, stay together, and then you'd see the children and the parents going into different theaters, and I said, now, how does that work? And then you wonder why there's a disconnect later in life. So again, because music is this international language, jazz is the only music form, from what I understand, that came from this country. Everything else came out of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful way to teach several lessons. And the fact that nowadays, when it comes to families being able to get the support of that extended family, often that doesn't happen. Your nearest relatives may be across the country or across the world. And I don't know if you ever heard of a book entitled The Demise of the Porch. I don't know. But at any rate, at one time when it comes to the way houses were built, the porches were on the front. Now they're called decks and they're on the back. I lived on our street for, we lived on our street for 18 years. And if you said, I'll give you $50 if you know the names of all of your neighbors on your street, I'd have to pass it up. Maybe I could get $200, okay? So the days of when children would play in the street in the afternoons and the other folks, the adults were speaking to each other, having conversations from one porch to the other. Kids were playing in the middle, and that's when you learn don't throw the ball in Mr. John Smith's bushes, or be careful about where you're stepping, that kind of thing. And you learn to respect older ones, and you realize that they could tell you something. They knew a thing or two. And if you didn't think they did, you still didn't say it, because they tell your parents. Remember those days? And there was not an appeal process. So nowadays, kids don't get the benefit of having Mr. Peabody, who lives on the street, who is going to teach piano to those children that wanted to learn or whose parents thought they should learn. You get that right there in the neighborhood that no longer exists. So all of this is running through my head as we approached that first concert. At the end of the evening, folks were saying, tell us when the next one is going to be. Oh, no, I'm not doing this again. This is too much work. I'm not doing this. And then it dawned on me, Deborah, you've done the forklift. You've done the forklift part of it. What's the problem? Just continue it. So that was before folks were on the Internet, before the debit and credit card purchases of tickets, and they were mailing checks. And I'm going every day to the bank to deposit their checks and then crafting out the tickets and mailing the tickets. So, so at any rate, as you can see, it's the year 2014, and we're still having those jazz performances.
I love it. I love it. So let me understand if I can picture this. It's a concert, but it's also a concert that includes discussion, so that people are getting an understanding of what they're listening to. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Each of our performers, and we have national and international performers, we ask each one to commit to teaching us something about music. Not too much commentary, because it's definitely a concert. However, give us a lesson so that we leave more enlightened and in a more appreciative mode. I got to tell you, one young man at age 10 attended his first. He was on the front row, eyes big, watching this group, this jazz group, perform. He stayed attentive the entire time. Ken, he grew up. He played trombone in high school. He's now a graduate with a degree in nuclear medicine. Go back to that whole piece about the Mozart effect of people who do well in music, do well in math and the sciences. And now, as a college grad, he sometimes plays in clubs in the evening with his former band instructor. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Wow.
Yeah, so but that's where he got his first taste of that, because of the explanation and the way that the music was presented. It was not an oversimplification, but just a matter of bringing people along by explaining what improvisation is or learning the different communication methods that would exist between the musicians, a nod of the head, the pointing of one finger that means something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you folks learn skills that they can, well, even children will learn skills that they can take into other areas of their life, like teamwork, being able to work with others, not just to be proficient in what you're doing, but to see the value of collaboration, those lessons.
That's true, and I'm sure someone has ever talked about it before, but yeah, jazz is actually the ultimate in teamwork. It would be hard to find a higher expression of teamwork on the planet than a jazz group playing together well. So in addition to the explanation, by the way, so that used to be done. I don't know if it's still done, but sometimes classical music would have a day for children, and there would be a little bit of explanation, and the whole performance was organized around teaching. So this is a tried and true method, but I've never heard it really used in jazz, and that's why I wanted to...
Really?
I'm sure it's happened, but I've never seen anybody create an institution that happens year after year. So,
wow.
So there's the explanation part, just enough to be informed, but not too much to be overwhelmed. I think that's great.
Yes.
And then you mentioned about your own experience that you didn't have a whole lot of experience with jazz, and I think there is a learning curve, and some people grow up in a jazz environment. Maybe their mother and father play jazz records, and they absorb it through their childhood. But if you don't have that experience, you miss that learning curve. So this kind of an experience, jazz informants, gives people a chance to get that learning curve. Because as all of our listeners know, once the jazz bug bites you, it's all over. You just love jazz, and it just gets better and better the more you listen and the more you learn. But the other thing I like about this, and I want to make sure that everybody can picture this, is this is organized as a family event. Now, you did refer to that. So
yes.
Mother and father and children and maybe aunts and uncles and grandparents all come together.
Yes, yes. I got to tell you, one of the experiences that, well, I guess it's been maybe 5 years now, Ken, but it still grabs my heart. One of my friends called, and she said, Deb, there's a friend of ours who wants to bring his son, and they want to know whether or not they can bring a stroller. And immediately I thought, you know what? This is a time to get a babysitter, okay? I mean, I don't get this. So she said, well, just call him. Okay. So I called, and it was an Atlanta number. And when I spoke with the gentleman about getting tickets, my friend's friend, he said, well, I want to bring my son, Christopher. So in a diplomatic way, I asked, well, how old is Christopher? He's 10, but he's in a stroller because he has cerebral palsy. He doesn't speak, but he loves music. I said, and you're driving from where? Atlanta. Oh, okay. So I was humbled but enlightened at the same time. So I asked, I said, well, when you bring Christopher, will it be all right if we were to make sure that all of the performers meet Christopher? And that year we had Philip Ingram, James Ingram's brother, and Kevin Dorsey. Many people may know Kevin's name because he was Michael Jackson's tour musical director for 20-plus years.
Wow.
I know, right? And they teach at California College of Music. So, and they teach four-part harmony, so you can see, again, the education watermark on this. And we made sure that Christopher, along with his parents, came on stage, and they took pictures together, and you can see it still makes an impression on me. And then when I hear older folks who are saying, my son's going to bring me, he says, Mom, I know you like going out. You haven't been out in a while, and this is an event to which I can take you because there'll be clean language, nothing that would be distasteful. Okay, so you look in the audience, and you remember hearing from a young woman who's in her 30s asking, my mom's in a wheelchair, man. I want to bring her. Do you have a place? Of course we do. We have a place for her. Or another young woman who came on five hours with her mom from the North Carolina area. My mom's on a walker. Is there a place that you could accommodate her? Absolutely. So when you see the cohesiveness that comes because of different family members wanting to meet together and using this event as a forum, it just warms your heart. You know, there are folks who have come, Ken, to this event, and some have said, I'm really not that much on jazz, but I want to have a really nice, high-quality evening out, and I'm meeting some friends that I haven't seen in 25 years. And then you hear of folks like my mother-in-law who played piano as a child. She wanted to type, but they, quote, made her take piano. And then in her 70s, after attending one of these jazz performances, she goes out and buys a new piano and starts music again.
Wow.
I know, right? And I could go on and on with story after story like that. So, again, at the same time, it's based on getting a better understanding of this art form.
Well, and I just love this social and family aspect. Because sometimes jazz, it's, you know, the jazz fans go to the club and or at a festival, it's, you know, it's a certain kind of audience, and that's all fine. But what about families? What about
Yes. Families
having something that they can do together?
Yes.
And what about a place where people who are maybe very young or maybe they have a disability or maybe they're very old and really it's not easy for them to go out and do things? What about a place for them to go and be together with their families in a positive setting? I can't tell you how
so are you coming? You're going to tell me that you're coming, right?
I will come here. This month's a little tight, but
okay.
I will come soon. I have to come. It's
yes,
essential.
You do. Yes,
and
you
this,
do.
And then this small, it's a small thing, but it's a big thing, and it's not a code in that it's the law, but there's an invitation for people to dress up. I really like that. I have to confess, the first several decades of my life, I was a blue jeans and T-shirt guy. And as I get older, I'm starting to realize the value and the importance of maybe dressing up a little. And the idea of having an event where it's fun to dress up, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to go to an event where it matters and where everybody else is making an effort to look their best. So you combine that with the family aspect and the fact that it's open to everybody and the fact there's some education. And then we've got this fantastic music that is like the cherry on top. Let's talk about some of the musicians that you've had in the past, and then let's talk about your upcoming event. We're recording this basically in November of 2014, so the event we're going to be talking about, you know, may be current or may be past by the time you hear this. But mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter. Everybody should definitely go to Jazz Informance. That's Jazz, JazzInformance.com, and see what the current program is. But let's talk about past programs, and let's talk about the upcoming program, which I hope everybody goes to.
Oh, I hope so, too. I hope so. On November 28th in Baltimore County, we're having our Jazz Informance and at Martin's West. Ronnie Laws, Walter Beasley, and Wilton Felder of the Crusaders will be performing. I want to talk a little bit more about that as we go on. But then we've had instructors from Berklee College of Music to perform Kurt Warner, Harum Jones, and Sa Davis, other instructors professional instructors to perform. And then Larry Graham has performed two or three times. And most folks think of him as pop or funk, but Larry has a serious jazz background. So when he's on stage, he teaches about how he learned that technique that every bass player in the world seemingly tries to emulate, the way he uses that plucking and thumping on the bass, and why he got to that, how he learned to do that because of playing with his mother. And they needed to fill in an instrument, and that's what he developed. Going back to our event on November 28th, the reason that's really exciting, Ken, is because as Walter Beasley, who is also a full-time professor at Berklee College of Music, said, he said, when is it at the age of 50 you get to be on stage and perform with two of your mentors? When does that, from your childhood, when does that happen?
Right.
And so folks will be in a position to hear different music styles, but then you learn that Walter says, anyone who loves my music has to love Ronnie Laws and Wilton Felder of the Crusaders, because those are my roots. That's from where I've come. So that's our latest event.
Great. So this event, the upcoming one, will be November, did you say 28th?
November 28th, the day after 20th. Thanksgiving.
Oh, good timing.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little relaxed. They got the day off. They have a long weekend. And it's in Baltimore.
Yes, it is in Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
And most of your events are... pardon me, go ahead.
No, I was saying it's right off of 95, so Interstate 95, so it's not a hard drive. Yeah.
Great, and most of your events are in the Washington, D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, is that right?
Well, you know, on the East Coast, but between Virginia Beach area, and this will be our second concert here in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. But we have some other concerts planned for 2015, so stay tuned for those. But we really are encouraging as many to come out on November 28th because really it's historic. Many might know that back in April 2014, Wayne Henderson of the Crusaders, the trombonist, died. And then in September, we lost Joe Sample. And so what an awesome time to hear some of the music of the Crusaders.
Sure.
Wilton Felder being the saxophonist of that group, that historic group.
Yeah, it's an important time to remember that music and to hear from the musicians that were part of that experience. So November 28th, and that's jazzinformants.com. Now, you also do some things that support young people in their learning of music. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We've done master classes, and we had several professors, music instructors from Berklee College of Music to come down the day before and to teach young folks music or to help them to gain, of course, in their knowledge of music. And the other piece that we've done, Ken, is, and we continue to do, is donate a musical instrument program. So look under the bed, go in the attic, the basement, and pull out that instrument that you've decided, you know what, I don't think I'm going to be playing this again, and we put it into the hands of an organization that will make sure that a child receives that instrument. We once got a phone call because the mother wanted to bring her 12-year-old to our jazz concert, and of course that was exciting. And then in our discussions we learned that this kid who was finishing elementary school wanted to play the oboe. The mom couldn't afford it, and with the vast email database that we have, I end up with a phone call from the music supervisor for a particular school system, and the child ended up with an oboe. Yeah. So he was there dressed in his white suit. We brought him up on stage because it's important that young people learn as a way of being successful in life to get involved in public speaking. So how many times do you see a 12-year-old on a stage speaking before 800 people or a 5-year-old doing the same thing?
Wow.
So all of these life lessons that young people can take further into life or in other areas of their lives, we try to incorporate within Jazz Informants.
So if somebody has an instrument, you know, in the attic or in the basement or buried in the closet.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's much better in a child's hand than in the bottom of a closet. So how can they get in touch with you? Should they just go to the jazzinformals.com
website? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I've got to tell you this. Once a young woman who is in Florida drove up from Florida to the Virginia Beach area, and she brought with her a six-month new clarinet.
So, wow.
Yeah. So, again, these experiences are humbling, but it shows that not everything that happens in the community today is negative. There are a lot of positive things that are going on, and often one positive act leads to another. You know, we keep hearing the expression, paying it forward,
mm-hmm.
and I also see jazz informants as a way of doing that or reaching out to help someone else to enlighten someone else. Maybe there's something that you know about music and you will share these experiences with the person sitting next to you or a child. A child gets an opportunity to meet the performers, and that in itself can be an incentive to get the child more interested in music. I think about a story that I read recently. This 4-year-old was taken to a concert by his working-class mom, and he said this man was on stage in this white suit and this big white box, and he kept saying to his mom, "I want to play that. I want to do that." you know who that was? It was George Duke, and the person on stage was Duke Ellington.
Oh my goodness.
I know, right? So you think about the contribution that he made to the music world, to culture, and to the arts, but it started by his, at the age of 4, being taken to a jazz concert or a big band concert.
Well, I know in my own experience that I had jazz records, and I liked listening to them, but it wasn't until I saw the music
mm-hmm.
performed live
mm-hmm.
that everything just clicked, and I realized yeah. how magical the whole thing is. And so giving people a chance to see the music is a huge thing. So you're putting on this event, which is a social event, it's a community event, it's an educational event, it's an artistic event, it's a cultural event, it's something that helps children advance in their learning, all these different multifaceted things. Besides attending the events, which I know is what you most want people to do, is there any other way that people can help this effort? Let's say they live in California and they're not going to make it to Maryland, but they want to support what you're doing. Do you have any mechanism that people can support you in other ways?
Oh, Ken, you have just gifted me again. Yes. I've already mentioned the Donate the Musical Instrument program. The other way is this. Students are allowed to come to the concerts. One we did free. If you were 21 or under, just show up and free, right? The other thing, what folks can do now is they can go to our website, and in progress right now is a donate button. So if you'd like to donate, and again, what I've had to happen is we've gotten phone calls from folks or emails saying, this child reminds me of my son. I wish I had done more with him as far as his music education is concerned, and I'd like to make a donation to help a child who now has this oboe that the parents couldn't afford. I'd like to send money to help with his music classes because he's going to need, you know, tutor or individual or private lessons, and we make sure that those funds get directly to the source. No administrative fees are stripped from whatever is donated. And often what we have been able to do is to give tickets to students based on donations that are made by individuals or by businesses. And here's the other part, the learning part of that, Ken. We don't give the tickets to the parents. We give the tickets to the students. However, minors have to be accompanied by adults. So that means the adult now needs to buy a ticket to bring the student. Okay, so now you have another parent-child event. And then we explain to the parents, your ticket is being donated by a doctor. This physician is an ophthalmologist. And what we are asking is that you would have your child to send a thank you note to this doctor for providing his or her ticket. Are you in agreement with that? Of course, the parents say yes. So we provide the child with a letter. You know how special it is when you're a kid and you get a letter at the house, you know, and it's addressed to you. You know how important that makes a child feel? You know? So then they get a letter, and if the child is 10 years old, we write the letter based on the age of the child. Hi, Ken. We are happy that you will be joining us at Jazz Informants. Dr. Smith is donating your ticket. Dr. Smith is an ophthalmologist. An ophthalmologist is, right, and we explain what that particular medical specialty is. And then we give them the thank you card. You might think, okay, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's still proper etiquette to say thank you. And then when that young person interviews for a job and there are 500 or 100 or 50 applicants for that same position, if that young person knows, you know, I need to send a thank you card to the person who interviewed me for the job, we know in the business world that can cause one's application to come to the top of the heap.
Mm-hmm.
So here's an opportunity to start learning that skill. So
beautiful.
So those donations, then they're tax deductible. Just like
great.
Just like the donating an instrument program, that's a tax deduction. So it makes it a win-win, you know, really a triple win.
That's great. And people can find information about how to do that on Jazz Inform Ants. So that's Jazz and then the word Inform and then ANCE, jazzinformance.com.
Yes,
not everybody,
thank you.
Not everybody, you're welcome. Not everybody's a PayPal or online donator. Would they be able to find your address if they want to send a check?
You know what? Yes, we'll make sure. Thank you for that. I'll make sure to include the address to which someone could send a donation. And then,
of course,
we confirm it with a letter so that they can see the way that their funds are being accepted, and then we're committed to making sure that we use it as a way of helping students to attend. And then, of course, then you're bringing the parents along, so everybody benefits.
I just love it. I just love it because we kind of live in a strange society now. Like you pointed out, the whole movie theater experience. People don't even go to the movies together anymore. They drive to the movies and then they all split up. It's kind of a weird life. And I love that you're creating this opportunity and this experience where people can enjoy the pleasures of what used to be normal human life in
mm-hmm.
context of learning and music and culture. It's just a great thing.
Exactly.
So I want to encourage everyone. So go ahead, please. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, even if a person has a student or a child, and you might say, well, he's not really gifted that way. He's gifted in another way. When it comes to supporting the arts, especially in this country, we don't see the level of support, I continue to hear that, as what you might see in Europe.
Yep.
And so the idea is, okay, when it comes to the symphony or even when it comes to jazz, you've got to have those who will be attending those events, not just the ones who are performing with the level of appreciation. So often those ones who are going to be supporting the arts are ones who grew up attending those events as youth, and then now they're in the business community, and they will be the ones who will be attending. That's another advantage or another appreciation level that we hope that we're building.
Oh, absolutely. Your events are growing the jazz audience. There's no question. Wow. Is there anything else you'd like to wrap up with? Because I think we've pretty much covered everything. I want to remind everybody the upcoming concert is November 28th, 2014 in Baltimore. But if you're somehow hearing this afterwards, just go to jazzinformance.com and you can see the latest events. Anything you want to part with? Let our listeners think about later.
Well, you know, I want to thank you for what you're doing because I continue to read with such interest the daily Jazz on the Tube notices that we receive, and I'll reach out to folks, have you seen this? I know you're interested in music. Why not sign up for Jazz on the Tube? And I love the way that you phrase the – it's as if I'm reading a story, not just – an archived, not just seeing an archived video on jazz, but by the time I've read your commentary, Ken, it's like, okay, I've got to see this video. And often I'll put them to the side. I'll say, okay, I've got to wait until I can savor this. This is not one of those emails that you pop through and listen while you're working. No, no, let me put this to the side and let me listen later. How did he find all of this information? That intrigues me. And I know that you're interviewing me, but I just find exciting and interesting the way that you craft. How do you do that?
Well, thanks for saying. Well, we always want to do it better. I think we can always do better in that area. But you know, I love the music. I have some people over the years that have also helped me with those emails and those commentaries. And we all love the music, and we're very enthusiastic about it. And we want to give people a context in which to enjoy it, because you know, the more you know, the more you can appreciate something. And
that's
I think
true.
the music does speak for itself. It stands on its own, and it doesn't necessarily need commentary. On the other hand, if somebody's new to it, it always helps to be oriented and know, well, who are these guys, and where do they come from, and what's their background, and who else have they played with, and why is this particular performance so significant, and this, where did this song come from? I think all that, well, it used to be called music appreciation.
You know, you're right, yes.
And we could go talk all day about the tragedy of the fact that music is being taken out of the schools, but all that just highlights why programs like Jazz Informants are so important. And I want to encourage, we haven't talked about this, but I want to encourage people in other parts of the country, like maybe you're in California or maybe you're in Texas or maybe you're thinking that this is a great idea and it should be in your community, and I hope you'll consult with Deborah Charity about how she put this together, because I would love—I have to say—one of my ulterior motives for having
you on. Oh yeah, let me hear.
Is I want you have accumulated a storehouse of knowledge about how to create these kind of positive community jazz events, and I hope that people around the country will look to you when they want to rethink some of the things that they're doing, maybe in the way they present jazz or in the way they present entertainment opportunities to families. I think you're a real leader in this,
I feel
that way.
Appreciate that. Please reach out to me, and because you know what, beginning in 2015, we're looking at packaging, especially this concert with Wilton Felder of the Crusaders and Ronnie Laws and Walter Beasley, packaging that and presenting that in different areas throughout, starting with the East Coast, but hey, we're not opposed to expanding beyond that, and we definitely invite inquiries from others who are interested in partnering with us so as to bring this type of enhancement to a theater near them.
Great. And Deborah, you have 14 years of experience putting these events on, so that's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Deborah Charity of JazzInformants.com, thank you so much for your work, and thank you for sharing some of the behind-the-scenes details of how it works with us.
Ken, thank you very much, and let's keep in touch. I'll be looking daily for my jazz on the tube, okay?
Great. We'll keep it coming.
Okay. Great. Thank you.